Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our VO Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For anybody that might be listening in that's new, my name is Peter Mingles. I started Building Fortunes Radio back in 2012, beginning part of 2013, as a result of me just wanting to help myself and other people be able to have a conversation. Hold on one second. This is Liz. Hey, Liz. Peter's here. You're calling in on the wrong number. Oh, try again, or I could, if it, try one more time, and if not, I will three-way you in using this phone. Okay, so try one more time. Yep. Okay, this was us looking to get them on. Hold on one second. We will see. Sorry for the interruption. This is live radio. Let's go see. I have her number. So anyway, so I'll keep talking and I'll get interrupted again, I hope, as she tries to call back in. So here we go. Perfect. She is here. You made it this time. Sweet. Okay, good. We're live on the air.
Okay,
so
wonderful.
I was just going through some introductions and talking about how we started Building Fortunes Radio, and my whole purpose was to be able to have interesting people and topics on Building Fortunes Radio that could help our Building Fortunes Radio listening audience. So I'm a home-based business entrepreneur, been so since 1996, been an entrepreneur ever since I graduated from college, and I always learned a lot about stuff, and always wanted to have an above-average income, and I realized that if I was paid on my performance, if I found myself in a position where I could be paid on my performance and did the right thing, I'd be able to enjoy a better lifestyle than probably if I wasn't. Now, there have been some bumps and some bruises along the road, and any entrepreneur will certainly tell you that, but I remember when I was an employee, I guess, as well, there were bumps and bruises as well, so I got a chance to pick where I'm going to get my bumps and my bruises, I suppose. But as I started doing this a couple months ago, had a phone call, Liz Jackson first, and I found that she was just like the kind of person that I would want to work with or work for. And I know that if you do something with her now, you're working more or less with her, but with her guidance as well. And she's sharp and she's bright, and I can keep throwing on all the accolades. She's a mom. She's a COVID survivor. She's somebody who's successful in the business. She's been, I've asked her to tell you about her entrepreneurial war stories, she'd be able to continue them for hours and hours and hours, just like the rest of us. But as I started learning a little bit more about Liz, then I spoke to Frank. And Frank Jackson is a similar personality, but a slightly different background, so they have a diversity of their backgrounds. And the cool thing is that Frank has a background in radio as well. Liz is a great educator. Frank's a great educator. They're well-balanced. I look to Frank the way he speaks many times as my dad. I would look at Liz as my mom because she gives those kind of advice that you know is coming from the right direction. And I said, you know, we should be doing some radio shows together. So we put something together called Extreme Wealth Makers. So if you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Extreme Wealth Makers or Wealth Makers, you'll be able to find them. Or if you look for Liz Jackson or Frank Jackson, you'll be able to find them as well. But every Wednesday at noon Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Central Time, we do this radio show where we pick a topic or just talk, because we could pick any topic and talk with them relative to their business, and just get a chance to have you, if you're a Building Fortunes Radio listening audience person listening in, hear them and hear the words that they're using and say, you know what, I think I would be better off if I worked with them as well. So we usually start off with whoever gets started first. So Liz Jackson, Frank Jackson, thanks for being here. The radio show is yours.
You know, Peter, thanks so much. But, you know, I'm sitting here listening and thinking, as you talk about Liz being a COVID survivor. Actually, we both are. And, you know, that just kind of hit a nerve with me when you said that, because so many people now, we're over 500,000 people in the U.S., who are who left here because of COVID. One of the sad things, I recall laying in the hospital myself, have we went over that half million mark, and you know, it's great to be here. But your introduction actually reminded me of that.
Yeah, it's true. If he was introducing, I was thinking about all the different network marketing and MLM companies that I've been in, that you've been in, that we've been in together. It's how we met, actually. But, you know, what I was also thinking about was how many people have those war stories that you talked about, and how many people have not just lost but are currently losing a lot of money. They're losing their shirt because they've gotten themselves involved in companies that don't care about them but just care about their own bottom line. And Frank and I are determined to help people to create a stream of income that is real. To me, when I say a stream of income, I'm not talking about a couple hundred dollars here and there. But when I create a stream of income, when Frank creates a stream of income, and when we teach people to do that, then if your living expenses is $2,500 a month, then that is the income that you should be looking to get. If your income is $3,000 or $4,000, whatever your financial need is monthly, then you should be creating income to not only cover your monthly expenses, but to also put money in the bank for savings and to have extra money to generate even more income.
You know, one of the things we like to talk about all the time, and really going further into what we really came out to talk about today, which is the Forex market. But one thing that Liz and I talk about all the time is that multiple streams of income are so important today. There was a time that multiple streams of income was a luxury. In other words, people had jobs, they worked to those jobs, and they were very happy and satisfied doing the 9-to-5 or the second shift or the third shift. And they've got those 8 hours out there, 40 hours a week. If they work overtime, they may get some overtime bonuses and so on. But it all came from one source. That was one stream of income, and that's the way, particularly in America, we lived. When you talked about multiple streams of income, that was always for wealthier people or business people or people who were more organized financially. But today, guys, multiple streams of income is no longer a luxury. It is an absolute necessity.
That's right. And so one of the ways that we have really honed in on helping people to create another stream of income and to get out of that mindset of generating a side hustle, because in the last 5 years, that's just been the thing, getting a side hustle. A side hustle doesn't take care of the bills on a regular basis. But being able to generate that income to replace anything that happens if you lose your job or if you get sick, being able to have a secondary stream of income, a third or fourth or fifth stream of income, takes away the stress that comes along with any kind of economic catastrophe. And we have seen, we have experienced, and we know that one of the ways that most of the listeners here today can generate that extra stream of income is in the foreign exchange market. And we talked about that last week, but we just kind of did a little surface over it. So we want to get a little bit more detailed. And so Right. Whenever we talk about Forex, we always like to tell people that trading the foreign exchange on margin carries a high level of risk and may not be suitable for everyone. So past performance is not indicative of future results.
And talking about foreign exchange, I think that it's extremely difficult to talk about it without first clearing up what it is. If you didn't hear us talk about this last week, you may wonder what in the world is Forex, and I like to clear this up, and we like to clear this up because so many people believe that they have been scammed in Forex, but in general, what they were scammed in was probably a network marketing company, a multi-level marketing company that dabbled in Forex, but their main product was their main service was recruitment, and particularly, that's how people tend to make money with these organizations, through recruiting other people into the program. Most of you've probably heard the term Forex before, but have no idea what Forex actually means. Again, you think it's a company, you think it's a network marketing program, you think it's a scam, you think it's some of everything. But to clear up any misconceptions before moving forward, we just want to say that Forex is not a company, a brand name, or trademark. In its most concise description, it's actually the abbreviated form of the foreign exchange market. It's quite simple. Foreign exchange market is where trading takes place. And you want to know what's traded in the foreign exchange market? Liz, you want to explain that?
I do, but I just wanted to say, you know, the foreign exchange market, it's gaining more and more interest in the investment world, and excuse me, and for very good reason. The Forex market, FX, foreign exchange, whichever way you want to say it, it's the largest market in the world, and it can be accessed from anywhere in the world, from your bed, from an office. If you're in the break in your traditional 9-to-5 job, if you're on the beach, it can be accessed with an internet. With internet access, you now have access. The Forex market volume.
Well, you know what? That's one of the things about that. I think that people should understand that when you're trading in the Forex market, you're in a decentralized market. Whereas people are, accustomed to, for example, those who travel, they're accustomed to going to that currency exchange counter or booth and exchanging currency. But in Forex, we're talking about a decentralized market where you're dealing directly seller and buyer together.
Yeah, and if you ever really wanted to know what is traded in Forex, the short answer is money. Money, 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 a lot of money. It's a $7.3 billion a day market. And in many different forms of currencies, it's traded daily, okay? So because Forex is such an intangible market, like credit cards, it's difficult for people to wrap their heads around the fact that they're actually dealing in money.
This may account to Liz, for some of the people who've been encouraged to trade in Forex without training. And so they get out there, and it turns into a lot of fun. It's a game for them. And we'll go deeper in this as the weeks go by, or if people come to our training programs, we go very deep into it. But people often try trading without any real knowledge, and because of that, they find themselves, they get that syndrome or that thought of like they're playing with Monopoly money.
Yeah.
They don't see it as real money.
You're absolutely right. And when they end up losing, they then cry foul and say they've been scammed. But, folks, here's the thing.
I think what I'm trying to go with that is they don't see it as real money. Because they're not looking at money. This is all digital currency. And because they're not looking at greenbacks that they're putting out, with their hands. This is why people spend a lot more money.
That's part of what I was saying a moment ago when I said, I was starting to say, have you ever noticed how people seem to spend more money when they're using credit cards versus when they're actually spending hard, cold cash in their hand?
And, a good point. And you also, has anybody ever thought about why casinos use chips and tokens, tokens for the slot machines, chips for the roulette and poker and all of that? Because if you had your money laying out there, you would not continue to say, let it roll, let it roll, let it roll, let it roll. You wouldn't keep doing that. You wouldn't continue putting real money into these slot machines. And so what they do is they take your money from you. And they convert it into something that doesn't look like money. They convert it into monopoly-looking money. And so you can throw that stuff out there all day long, and you don't feel like you're losing your money until it comes time to pay the rent.
Exactly. Likewise, the average person would not lose as much money trading if they were trading with actual cash instead of digital currency. And that's what people are trading on in the foreign exchange market. It's digital currency.
So when you're actually trading digital currency, Liz, you want to kind of cover what the person is actually doing. What are you really doing when you're trading digital currency?
Well, what you're doing is you're buying a nation's currency. It's kind of like buying a share or an interest in that country, the same way you buy a share in a company. So the value of the currency normally demonstrates the trade market's opinion on the current and the future well-being of that particular country's individual economic system.
And to put that in real perspective, If you recall, just a few days ago, our new president, Joe Biden, got up to, or he announced that he was going to be addressing the American public.
Absolutely. And as a result, you know, when something happens in a particular country's economy, it affects how people trade, and it affects the volatility of the trade. So last week when President Biden made the announcement that he was going to address the nation on the PPP and the different things regarding our economics, the country's economics, then what happened was there was barely any movement in the market. Because people were waiting to see, is it good news or bad news? They needed to know whether they should be buying or selling. And so there was barely any movement. That would have been a good day. And what we told the people that are a part of our program is this is a good day to be in your demo account. Practice the skills that you've been taught, different markets. Go into the different currency pairs. It's also a good time to potentially trade different pairs.
Before you go into that, Liz, you mentioned demo account, and a lot of people who are new to Forex trading, well, people who are new would know it, but people who are looking at Forex trading or any kind of trading probably wouldn't know what a demo account represents.
So a demo account is a play account. It's an account that you would sign up with your brokerage firm to practice trading. So there are some people that just jump 2 feet in and they start trading with real money.
In a live account.
What we encourage everybody to do is to first get a demo account. Practice in your demo account. And when you have consistency, then open a live account and start trading small and work your way up. The reason is because when you're learning, it's great to learn and earn at the same time, but what's not great is to learn and lose at the same time. So as you're learning, you're practicing the skills that you learn before you go out there with your real money, your rent money, your grocery money, your medical bill money, and end up losing it because, you know, as a trader, you cannot expect that every day you will profit. All traders, no matter how young or old in the business they are, regardless if they're a novice or a pro, everybody has losing days. Many have losing streaks. And what we want people to understand is if you've had a losing day, that's perfectly acceptable. It's expected. But you need to regather everything and look at what you did and why you lost on those trades. What could you have done better? We train you on how to read the charts, how to mark up your charts and understand what's going on in the market and to be able to have more predictability with your pairs.
I think one of the reasons we like to start people out in demo accounts is because it takes away the anxieties. When people are anxious, when people are stressed, when they see their money dwindling, they become very emotional. And Liz, what's the one thing you don't want to do?
You never want to be emotional. When you trade emotionally, you're going to lose every single time. When you trade emotionally, you stop working and you start gambling. And this isn't a casino. Foreign exchange market is not a casino. It's not a game.
It's more of a skill set.
It's a skill, exactly. And so when you are gambling, if you want to gamble, go to a casino and gamble. But if you're interested in creating substantial income, if you're interested in working and learning a skill, then you can come to us and we will teach you a skill that can create substantial income.
The majority of the trades that take place in the market are speculative trades. People are speculating. But the more knowledgeable you are, the more trained you are, the more precise your speculations will become. And so, you know, we start people out in the demo accounts. We take away the anxieties. And, you know, when it comes to being emotional, it really doesn't matter what the emotions are about. We found that it isn't just a person being emotional about the fact that they're losing money in the market today, but they lost a loved one. Someone stole their boyfriend. They
fell down the stairs and hurt themselves. It could be any type of emotion. If you're emotional for whatever reason, you don't ever want to trade. Now, in Forex marketing, let's look at some examples here. Let's say that you're buying the Japanese yen. Now, Liz, you already talked about buying a nation's currency. It's kind of like buying a share or an interest in that particular country, the same way you would buy shares in a company. So I want to reiterate that.
So when you're buying the Japanese yen, you're basically buying a share within the Japanese economy. So this means you believe that the Japanese economy is doing well, and it will even get better as time goes by. So once you sell those shares back to the market, hopefully you will end up with a profit. You expect that you will gain money.
Okay. Now, you know, that's really interesting how you bring that out. It's like buying when you buy the yen, the Japanese yen, it means that you believe that the Japanese economy is doing well, it's doing okay, but it's going to even get better as time goes by. And so, you know, that just kind of goes back to where you talked about the value of the currency normally demonstrates the trade market's opinion on the current and future well-being of that particular country's individual economic system. People really have to believe in your economic system to believe in your currency. And so, in general, the exchange rate of currencies versus other currencies, rather, versus the exchange rate of a currency versus another currency is a reflection of the condition of that country's economy compared to other economies.
And I wouldn't even say, yes, you're absolutely right in what you said, but I wouldn't even say that you have to have faith in a country's economy.
Okay.
For example, if President Biden had announced that we're in debt, then I would sell the U.S. dollar. I wouldn't be buying it. And so it's understanding the market projections. It's understanding what's going on in the economy to determine whether or not you're going to buy or sell.
But of course, the U.S. currency is the most sought-after currency on the planet. And so,
and it is. And, you know, like a lot of people don't really know and understand the history of the foreign exchange market. And you know, I'd like to just stop. Give me like 3, maybe 4 minutes to just really just pinpoint and explain the history of the foreign exchange market.
Well, we've got about 6 minutes left anyway.
Okay. So then we'll pick up next week or the week after in giving a little bit more detail about trading. But when the foreign trade began, it was an international trade market. It was born out of the Bretton Woods Agreement in 1944. It set forth that foreign currencies would be fixed against the U.S. dollar, which was it was valued at $35 per ounce of gold. So the precedent was first put into practice in 1967 when a bank in Chicago refused to fund a loan to a professor in sterling pounds. The professor's intention was to sell the currency, which he felt was priced way too high against the U.S. dollar. So he's going to sell that currency, and then he was going to buy it back later when the value declined and turn a quick profit. But the bank refused to do that with him. So after 1971, when the dollar was no longer convertible to gold, the domestic marker was stronger. The Bretton Woods Agreement, it was completely abandoned, and the currency conversion process became more variable.
I think probably a good point here would be that the dollar is now secured by silver rather than gold.
So, well, all this conversion, it allowed for a stronger backing in the foreign markets, and the United States and Europe began a strong trade relationship. So then in the 1980s, the market hours and usage was extended through the use of computers and technology. So the NASDAQ came into play, and I'm not going to get too deep because we only have a few minutes here, but it also included the Asian time zones as well. So it wasn't just Europe and the U.S. At this time, foreign exchange equaled about $70 billion a day. today, actually not even today, 20 years later, it was at about $1.5 trillion a day, and today it's at $7.3 trillion a day.
With a T.
So originally, trading across international lines was more difficult, with several different currencies involved across Europe and trying to do those conversions. The major players in the European market were deeply involved and veterans of trading themselves. So there were more currencies to keep track of, the franc, the pound, the lira, and so many more. It was really not very reasonable for them to really be able to efficiently keep track of all of that. So with the birth of the European Union in 1992, the wheels were set in motion to create a single currency that would be used across most of Europe. So that happened in 1999.
In place of the pound?
No, not in place of the pound. That was just putting together things like the franc and the pound, but there's another story with the British pound sterling, the lira, and all those other currencies all across Europe. So while some countries have still not accepted the euro as their own, such as the British pound, the Britain, they still use the sterling pound. The process of currency conversion has been simplified with a large number of various currencies that were previously dealt with. So instead of dozens of currencies, the main countries traded are the United States, the Australian dollar, the British pound sterling, the euro, and the Japanese yen. So today, the foreign exchange market is international and it's worldwide. The market is open 24 hours a day, 5 days a week, to accommodate all the time zones for all the major players. Again, major players, U.S., Australia, Britain, euro, and Japanese yen.
Yeah, and you know, interesting that some traders call those, I think you named about five there,
mm-hmm.
they will call those five the major players, whereas other traders, those who, well, in fact, it would be more the stricter players who would call those particular ones the majors, whereas others would include three others. So you would have Canada, Great Britain, Europe, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, Switzerland, and, of course, America. So foreign traders tend to differ on what they consider as the major currency. The more stricter traders who go by the book may only see USD, the EUR, the JPY, which is the yen, and Great British pound, and the franc as the major currency. Those five, I believe, are the ones you just named off.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll see the Australian dollar, the New Zealand dollar, and the Canadian dollar as commodity currencies. But for the rebels who for those who like to keep things simple, we just consider all of the eight currencies, all the eight of the ones we talked about as majors. I want to just say one thing. When I talked about a little bit earlier about the dollar being secured by silver, I was talking about the $1 bill. If you recall, and you may or may not, but at one point it had printed on there silver certificate, and now it says Federal Reserve note.
Yes. Okay. Well, you know, we've talked about trading now for 2 weeks, so some of you may say, "Well, why should I trade?" Now, you should only trade if you're ready to change your mind about how much money you can make and reach your full potential. You should trade Forex because it's a great tool to leverage your time and replace your income. You know, here are the benefits of trading. You can work any time you want, 24 hours a day. It's continuous, online. It's electronic. It never closes. You can work at home. You can work on the beach or anywhere you want to in the world. You can trade foreign currencies on a higher leverage basis, sometimes up to 200 times your investment. And with all of the benefits and tons of others that we haven't talked about, you can easily make $200 to $3,000 a day trading. So it may sound too good to be true, but prove us wrong. Give us a call. We're Frank and Liz. We can be reached at 630-673-7900. Again, if you're ready to learn to trade in the foreign exchange market, call Frank and Liz at 630-673-7900.
Come on, guys.
Excellent information. Thanks for being here. We're running out of time. Make sure you check him out. We also have this on BillyFortunRadio.com. If you go to Extreme Wealth Makers, you'll be able to find that radio show here. We'll see you next time. Thank you, everyone.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on BillyFortunRadio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the BuildingFortunesRadio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.